Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I want to talk to you today about your soul. And before I ask you about your human soul, I want to talk to you about soles of your feet. We are partnering with Lighthouse Ministries, collecting shoes for the less fortunate. Lighthouse Ministries has been located down in Lexington, Kentucky, on Elm Street for over 15 years now. And a lot of people that are homeless or just less fortunate people don't have access to good, comfortable walking shoes, and all of us have an extra pair of shoes in our closet, tennis shoes, casual shoes. I mean, think about it in regards to somebody that if you had to walk a lot, that you could donate at either the UPS stores in Hamburg, Tate's Creek Center, the one in Zandale Shopping Center, or the one in Nicholasville, Kentucky, or Lexington Compound Pharmacy, which is right across from St. Joe Hospital on Waller Avenue next to Jimmy John's, or the Keller Williams Bluegrass Realty Group, which is on Harrodsburg Road. You can go to the website wjmm.com, find out specific address locations for these partners. But really would like to ask for your help. Also, Reliable Residential Roofing, which is on Jaggy Fox Way, which is off Georgetown Road near God's Pantry, is collecting shoes. So we've got lots of locations, but all of us have an extra pair of tennis shoes or boots, working boots, shoes, that if you had to walk all the time because you did not have transportation. And this ends on August 30th, so we want to ask that you would go and take at least one pair of shoes, hopefully more. Also, they can be worn, but just, you know, in good condition, clean them up a little bit, and or socks. If you had socks you would like to donate, that would be great too, to give with the shoes. So Michael's Feet, just a powerful promotion we've been doing the past few years with wjmm.com. So I hope that you'll take advantage of that. If you've got more questions, go to our website wjmm.com there to find out about those specific locations. But I want to ask you about your soul that's inside your body, the human soul, not the soles of your shoes. And you know, there's a passage that Jesus talked about with our souls that's really similar to that, and it's about soil. And Jesus told in Luke chapter 8 verse 4, he said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, it was trampled on, the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he later called out to the crowd that was listening, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. So if you've got your Bible, I know a lot of people like to listen to our program at home, at work. That's from Matthew chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. But that's going to be the passage we're going to focus on today as we talk about your soul. And yet, you know, as kids, a lot of time we had this kind of unique prayer. Maybe you prayed it some. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, if I think about that now as an adult, man, as a little kid, you know, those are kind of scary words to teach a 5, 6, 7-year-old to pray alone in the dark. And, you know, a lot of times it kind of made me concerned about my soul as a kid. What would happen, and what is, you know, what did God actually mean when he said my soul to keep? You know, if I expire before sunrise, he takes my soul. What exactly is it that gets taken? And, you know, a lot of us, I think, ponder today about the soul because we're curious. And the search for the soul always begins with our hearts. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, you know, what is the soul? I want to elaborate on that based on that passage there in Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. And I want to talk to you about the soul. You know, we each have an outer life and an inner one. And John Ortberg, he had a book called Soul Keeping that I want to base a lot of this talk on today. And he says that, you know, we each have an outer life and an inner one, but my outer life is the public, visible me. My accomplishments, my work, and my reputation lie there. My inner life is where my secret thoughts and hopes and wishes live. Because my inner life is invisible, it's easy to neglect. No one has direct access to it, so it wins. No applause. And you know, I heard Wayne Smith say one time, if somebody's acting ugly on the outside, it's because they're hurting on the inside. And a lot of times that is because our soul is not in a good place. And man, in the United States of America, we're so good at wearing our mask. You know, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, doing well. And yet, you know, I like to ask people that I know really well and have really good long-term relations with, I like to follow up with a question. Okay, that's good, but you know, how are you really doing? And, you know, the fact of the matter is we all need somebody we can be honest with, somebody that we can share our burdens. The Bible says we should bear one another's burdens. And, you know, I've heard the saying by Rick Warren many times, with the revealing comes the healing. And when you reveal burdens, heartache, problems that you have, the healing process starts. And the Bible says what's done in the darkness, when it's brought to light, gives air that there's healing that happens. So I know that a lot of people's souls are not in good places. They're not doing well. They're dark. They feel heavy. And I just really hope over the next couple programs that you'll be blessed as we talk about your soul. Dallas Willard, the great author, said, "What is running your life at any given moment is your soul. Not external circumstances, not your thoughts, not your intentions, not even your feelings, but your soul. The soul is that aspect of your whole being that correlates, integrates, and enlivens everything going on in the various dimensions of the self. The soul is the life center of human beings." So friends, you know, I love Proverbs 4:23. It says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it's the foundation of everything, the wellspring of life." The soul and your heart are so interconnected. And, you know, it's terribly important to understand the parts of our inner life. Each one must be healthy and working as God intended it to work. If your soul is healthy, no external circumstances can destroy your life. But if your soul is unhealthy, no external circumstances can redeem your life. And friends, as I'm getting older, I find that to be so, so true. You know, I know people that have lots of material things, and on the outside things look great, but on the inside they're dying and they're hurting greatly, and yet they don't want to reveal the pain that's inside their soul. And so they numb it with alcohol, with shopping, with drugs, with pornography, food. I mean, the list goes on and on. Staying busy is a great way to do that. And that's one I really struggle with. I'm a people pleaser, and it's hard for me to say no. And my soul gets tired. And sometimes I get migraine headaches because of that, when I just get worn out physically, mentally, and emotionally. And it's, I think, God's way of slowing me down sometimes. So this soul and how we take care of our soul is a really, really important topic, but one we don't really like to talk about, and especially as followers of Jesus, because, you know, we want to live by faith. You know, we walk by faith and not by sight. And yet the fact of the matter is we have to take care of our hearts and our souls. And, you know, it's really terribly important to understand the parts of your inner life, because if you don't, it's going to come out eventually. The Bible says what comes out of the mouth comes from your heart. And I know when I've said things in my time here on this earth that have not been God-honoring, it's because my heart's hurting. And we've all heard the saying sometimes, man, that's a lot of smoke for such a small fire. Well, that's not because of the current fire. It's because of wounds in the past that have caused this fire. And then this small conversation or incident in life is like pouring gasoline on the small fires, the wounds that have happened in our lives in the past that we have not dealt with. And I love this story that Sherry Matherly shared with us a few weeks ago. We're talking about grieving, and she said, you know, a lot of us have wounds and things that hurt, and we don't take time to grieve over, and we like put that hurt in a mason jar, put the lid on it, and stick it on the shelf. Well, eventually, after you put so many mason jars, the shelf collapses. And, you know, that is so true with our soul. It's going to come out in physical sickness and mental sickness. And You know, we have more depression here in the United States and other in any other country in the world, yet we have the most material resources. So it shows that no matter what's going on externally does not mean that you're going to have internal peace, because all the external stuff is not a blessing. It's not going to be the blessing that gives you peace, because the Bible tells us that we have a peace, that it provides a peace that passes all understanding, that a relationship with Jesus does. And so I want to encourage you to try to remember that even though things may not be going well on the outside, when things are going well on the inside, that God is going to take care of your wants and your needs. You know, to lose your soul means I no longer have a healthy center that organizes and guides my life. I am a car without a steering wheel. It doesn't matter how fast I can go, because I am a crash waiting to happen. We live on a planet of lost souls, John Ortberg says. That is the human problem. It is not some superficial thing that only relates to getting the right afterlife if you affirm the right doctrines. It has to do with the depth of our human condition. And I love that Ortberg goes on to say in his book called Soul Keeping, that was written back in 2014, our world has replaced the word soul with the word self, and they are not the same thing. The more we focus on ourselves, the more we will neglect our own souls. The Journal of the American Medical Association cited a study that indicates in the 20th century, people who lived in each generation were three times more likely to experience depression than folks in the generation before them. Despite the rise of the mental health profession, people are becoming increasingly vulnerable to depression. Why, you ask? Well, Martin Seligman, a brilliant psychologist with no religious axe to grind at all, has a theory that it's because we have replaced church, faith, and community with a tidy little unit that cannot bear the weight of meaning. That's the self. We'll say that again. We have replaced church, faith, and community with a tiny little unit that cannot bear the weight of meaning. That's the self. We're all about self, aren't we? We revolve our lives around ourselves. Ironically, the more obsessed we are with ourselves, the more that we neglect our souls. You know, all of our language reflects this. If you're empty, you need to fulfill yourself. If you're stressed, learn how to take care of yourself. If you're on a job interview, you have to believe in yourself. If someone dares to criticize you, you have to love yourself. If you're not getting your own way, you have to stand up for yourself. What should you do on a date? You ought to be yourself. What if yourself is a train wreck? What do you do then? Wow. You know, there's so much on this topic of the soul that I hope that you'll join us tomorrow as I continue this conversation about how is your soul, how's your soul doing, basing a lot of this off a book by John Ortberg called Soul Keeping. But we will continue this conversation tomorrow, so I hope you will join us. I'm Greg Horn on Hope Is Here.
Hi, I'm Tay Henderson, Executive Director of Lighthouse Ministries. In addition to serving meals twice a day to our hungry Lexington neighbors, we also provide shoes through our Michael's Feet Ministry. In June of 2014, I noticed that many of the people we were serving did not have adequate shoes. If they weren't duct taped together, there were holes in the soles. The day that a man named Michael approached me with scotch tape holding his shoes together, I knew I had to do something, and Michael's Feet Ministry was born. Now we are blessed to replace over 50 pairs each month thanks to individual donors and donating businesses through WJMM. Please consider being a part of this blessing. Each pair you give replaces a battered pair and helps a battered person know they are loved. Thank you.
For more information on Lighthouse Ministries, check out their website at lighthouselex.org or contact them by phone at 859-259-3434.